for unto us. Could know once and for all that God is concerned about the way we live, about what we believe, and about the way we die. And could taught us in 1,001 different other ways. Did some of it through the pages of the Old Testament, but this is sending his son, but who would one day be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How would you like to stand and sing All Hail King Jesus? Our gracious and glorious God, we acknowledge this morning that this is your story. This is the way you chose to reveal to us that you care about us, that you love us, and that you want to redeem this lost world back to yourself. Praise you for shining light into the darkness of our world. And just like they came and worshipped at Bethlehem, can we do that this morning? We're overwhelmed by your love. We thank you that we can know the peace and the joy, the favor and the blessing of that first Christmas. May that be our heart experience. But while we stand here, Lord, we're very conscious of that devastating tsunami wave. And we do pray that amidst the chaos and the confusion and the despair and the sense of hopelessness, that somehow you would bring those who will be kind and generous and understanding and helpful, and that there would be that kind of response that would bring your blessing and favor to those places today. Be with them in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, just a couple of years ago, it happened on the east coast of India, exactly the same, the Boxing Day tsunami. And through every corps, because of Dino Tutang, I got involved and then... you got involved too. And one of the most remarkable things was how the church did some amazing things. A lot of people helped. I acknowledge that. And there will be a lot of help needed right now. There'll be a lot of financial help. There'll be another thing. But the key is that folk who know the Savior can be there. And you know, one of the greatest greatest joys that I had. After we started, we put tents there first, and then we put tin huts, and then we started the rebuild through AFRICORPS and Habitat. And they gave them back the boats. And I got the picture still of the first catch of fish for the fishermen. So although it's devastating today and dreadful indeed, but having lived through that one tsunami, I have great hopes and great faith that we're going to get through this next one, and that at the core of it will be God's people. So keep on praying and keep on believing too. We are going to sing, what's this, 393, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Let's stand and sing it, 393.
Well, a happy Christmas to you all.
Did you hear that? Okay. Well,
please receive it, even with the germs. Don't receive the germs, though. I don't know whether you've opened your presents this morning. We have this tradition of thinking about Jesus, the indescribable gift. That's how Paul describes him, the indescribable gift. But with the help of our gifts, we can at least marvel at what God has done in sending his son Jesus into this world. We always ask who's got the biggest Christmas present. Now, this can turn into a bit of a sort of boast if you're not careful. Did anybody get anything really big? In the Leach household, the smallest addition to the family, Matty, he got a playmat, a huge thing, a big like roller carpet. So that's the biggest thing from our house. Anybody like to contribute anything else? No? No big presents this Christmas? Wow. Did anybody get anything really tiny? Something really small? Maybe very precious, of course. I know when you think of Christmas, you think of the big and the small and everything in between. But think of God coming amongst us as a tiny baby. You hold a baby in your arms, so helpless, you know, just gripping onto your finger, giving you sort of a smile, looking up, but, you know, so needy, so, you know, but and God should send his Son into the world in such a way. God made flesh. There's a verse that Paul writes in Colossians that says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." Jesus is not a little bit of God. He is God. Fully God, fully man. And it's a mystery to get our heads round it, but even in that babe in Bethlehem, there lay the divine God with us in that stable. Anybody get a present that's going to last for about a day? Some sweets, yeah. They're good ones, aren't they? Sweets, chocolates, depending how quickly you eat them. Perhaps a few days. Anybody get anything that's going to last just a year and then beyond a year? Calendars, diaries? Okay. Well, how wonderful to know that God's present of Jesus is not just for 2019. It is for that year, but it's for all time, for all eternity. And we had a moment this morning, in fact, two moments as we all sat around opening the presents, where there was that, "Ooh, what's this? What does it do? What's this?" You know, that moment when you're not quite sure. You think you know what it is, but no, it's not that. It's something else. And nice surprises. And it's a little bit like that when we think about Jesus and the gift that God has given to us. What is this? A Saviour has been born to all of us. Name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's what he came to do. That's what the gift is all about. How precious a gift. Well, I hope this morning, if you've opened your presents or you're opening them later on, when you open them, you remember that whoever's given you the gift cares for you, loves you. I mean, that's the whole idea, isn't it? I don't think anybody this morning will get something that comes from somebody who hates them. You know, that's not how Christmas works. And in the same way, God's love is behind the gift of his Son. He knows what we need. He knows all about us. I always remember in my childhood, I went to a Christmas party once with adults, and a man there who nobody knew received a present. They didn't want to leave him out. And they got him a brush and comb set, and he was as bald as anything. And it was one of the funniest things to happen as he opened the present. They didn't know him. They wanted to show they cared, but they didn't know him. But God knows you. God cares for you. God loves you. And so he gives you the most precious gift of all, of Jesus. Knowing what you need, knowing what's good for you, he gave us a Saviour. And the Lord Jesus Christ is his name. Well, happy Christmas to you all. And trust, if you've not opened your presents yet, you get what you want. If you've opened them already, well, again, appreciate the love and the care. And don't forget Jesus, the indescribable gift. Amen.
Let's have a good sing. 83. Come and join the celebration.
Born to live, see the shepherd.
I have shared a verse with you before because it intrigues me and it excites me and it explains an awful lot to me. And you find it in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 3, and it's verse 26. And it's part of a sermon. And it's just a simple phrase. But to me, it's one of the most explicit, one of the most exciting, one of the most wonderful phrases. Let me say it, read it to you. God sent him. And he's talking about Jesus. God sent him to bless you. Do you get that? God sent Jesus to bless you. That's a long, long way from Bethlehem to our individual homes. It's a long way from the manger and the stable to finding a place here in our hearts. It's a long time from that first Christmas to this Christmas. And so much has happened in between. And yet, new life came into the world then. And it's important to realize that with simple faith and trust, the same thing can happen now, here, in our time. It can come to our lives today. So we're in a noisy, noisy world. And I have no doubt about if you turn on your television or you go somewhere else, you will hear the noise of our 21st century Christmas celebrations. But would you listen out for another voice? Would you listen out to grasp this simple and yet profound truth that God sent Jesus to bless you? The Christmas story is absolutely amazing. We went through this on Sunday morning. And it gives us, you know, an insight into the grandeur, the hard to comprehend, the grandeur of God himself. But here, we've tried to explore this over these last 2 weeks. Don't miss that the real Christmas you will see is that when God loves, he loves the world. When God gives, he is giving his son. And when God saves, you know, pick up, have you got a gift that lasts forever? Yeah, this gift of salvation, he saves forever. Now when I start to think about this half-part text, it's intriguing. It's simple, yet it's profound. He sent Jesus to bless us. What's significant about that? Such is his glory, such is his wonder, such is his purity, such is his holiness. He's coming here as a mighty potentate. He could have condemned us. If he'd come in all the splendor and the glory of a royal visitor, the glory could have overwhelmed us. And when he spoke, his words could have silenced us because we are such as we are. And instead, he came. And because he came to bless us, the words he spoke were kind. And they were simple. And they were life-changing. And they were helpful to so many in so many different ways. And the world has never known anyone since so special. His character was flawless. He never missed a chance to forgive. He never let a lie come from his lips. He cared about people in such a way that when he touched lives, transformation took place. He endured when others would have quit. And so it was in a stall-filled manger, the most incredible thing occurs. God sends Jesus to bless us. It's an incredible moment. It's something happening in moments of time. It's God coming to us, to our world, getting involved with us, so we would know something. We would know two things. He's not the great untouchable. The untouchable God, way, way out there in space somewhere. All we have to understand, because he sent Jesus to bless us, is that he's unavoidable. Not untouchable, just simply unavoidable. In a world like ours, with about 6 billion people, so often we're made to feel very small and very insignificant. And all the news and all the events and all the happenings in the political and in the economic and in the societal structures, it's not about people with prestige and power or villainy. The first Christmas, without their knowing it, all those mammoth political forces of Rome are being guided by God. And so was Mary, little Mary, little Joseph, making their way from Nazareth to Bethlehem so God could fulfill his promises, so he could send Jesus to bless us. And in the process, bless those who would become his people. Why would Jesus want to bless us? Do you ponder that? Let me suggest two things. Number one, because of the problems we have that only Jesus can solve. You see, in the process, he would reveal the love of God. He would redeem the lives of men and women just like us. He would go to the cross at Calvary, and the message of the cross is how this giving God, who gave his Son, will give and give again and again and again. And when I read the story of Jesus in the Gospels, I see how he gives so much away. Listen to this one. People are troubled. My peace, what about it? I give to you. My peace, I give to you. We've got a table here. A couple of times every month, we put the communion on the table, the bread and the wine, because we want to remember my body given for you. My blood shed, given for you. And when I read the story of what happened there on Good Friday, I see how on the cross it gives pardon to the dying thief today with me in paradise. And John. He's hanging on a cross. And he's somehow in his gaze picked out John and said, would you give this lady a home? It's my mom. It's Mary. And he gives Mary a home. See, Joseph is long gone. He's died. Will she be just a desolate widow? No, no. He gives, hey, Mom, I'm going to give you to John. John, I'm going to give you my mom. I'm going to give you Mary. He's giving again. He gives that dying thief paradise. And I wanted to tell you this morning, whatever you need, he's got a special gift for you. A problem that only he could solve. He'll give you what you need. Here's my second point. Not just, why would he come to bless us? Because of the problems only Jesus can solve, but because of the peace that only Jesus could bring. And when the night sky was shattered with the light, when the shepherds were roused from their sleep, with the choir of angels singing glory to God, they'd never seen anything like that. It wasn't enough. They had to see the one who sent the angels. And so something happens. They get to their feet ultimately and they say, let's go and see this thing that's come to pass. And then an old man just like myself watches these two young people coming through the door of the temple. They got a little bundle in their arms. They're the poorest of the poor. Their sacrifice is just the two pigeons. They can't afford anything more than that. And they walk up, and there's the old preacher, prophet, right at the front, Simeon. He's served in the temple so long. And it's just a few days after the shepherds. And Simeon holds this blanketed bundle in his arms. And it's enough. It's enough. He said, I can die now. Why, Simeon? Because what he's seen. Some people don't want to see until they've gone through their bucket list, since till they've seen the world. Simeon wanted to see the maker of the world. He wanted to see Jesus. Mine eyes have seen your salvation. And then the Magi, those wise men, they got exactly the same desire. They were not just concerned with that spectacular star in the sky and the mystery of it. To see that blazing light, that was a privilege. But it wasn't enough. Because the first question they ask when they get to Jerusalem, where is he? Born king. They needed to see him. And of course, you know how they succeeded. Can I tell you something? You can search your Bible and you will discover that anyone who has ever sought to see him is never turned away. I find an amazing verse in Hebrews 11, and it's all that roll call of the heroes of faith. God rewards those who earnestly, who diligently, says the King James, search for him. And all I ask as the pastor is, say, will you search for him this Christmas? Don't be satisfied with the angels. Don't be content with stars in the sky. Just do exactly what the shepherds did. Seek him. Long for him as Simeon did. and then worship him as the wise men did. Do you know one of the great things Jesus told folk and harped back to the shepherds? He said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know my voice. He calls all the sheep by name. When we see a crowd, that is exactly what it is. It is a crowd. We see people. We do not see persons, but people. A group of humans. Faces. Just people like ourselves. And every face to the shepherd would tell a different story. Every face, in a way, is a child, and every child has a name. And the Bible talks of us being born anew, born again, becoming children of God. And he'll know your name. And Jesus the shepherd will know you. Know your name, and never will forget it. So those shepherds came to Bethlehem. They didn't know then that that little baby in the manger would become the good shepherd and the great shepherd and the chief shepherd. You see, you cannot escape Jesus. God sent him to bless you. And he has a tremendous effect upon everyone who encounters him. And there are three consequences that came out in that Christmas story. It says the shepherds were thrilled, had to go and tell everybody. They were excited about it. Mary pondered, put everything, tried to put everything together in her heart, marveled. Would you marvel? Would you be a marveler at Christmas? Not at the tinsel, the trees, the gifts, the other thing. Would you marvel that God sent Jesus to bless you? Would you become a mover? You see, the shepherd said, go and see this thing. Let me tell you about Simeon. It says he was moved by the Spirit to go into the temple right at that moment of time. And he saw the King, the Jesus who would bless him. And then do you know what both of them became? And what everybody becomes once you become a marveler and a mover, you become a messenger. You have a wonderful story to tell. I have discovered that God sent Jesus to bless me. And you can stand in front of your mirror and marvel at that, and then tell others about it. And describe and find that there is an incredible peace and joy amidst all the turmoil in our crazy, crazy world, that the problems you had, he helped solve them. And the peace that you need, he gives to you. You see, it really is amazing. God sent Jesus to bless you. Stand and sing, O Come, All Ye Faithful. 491 in our book. 491.
Joyful and triumphant to come now.
extends towards me. I want to put a blessing on you. Father, this morning, it's the greatest privilege to know that you sent Jesus to bless us. So I ask you to bless these folk with their hands held high towards you. Pour grace, pour favor, pour peace, pour blessing into their homes, into their families, into their workplaces, but most of all, into their hearts. The Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine on you, be gracious to you, and lift the light of his countenance upon you. Receive this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Have a happy Christmas. Take a few moments to share with one another and go on your way. We'll be back here next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And it'll, if you want to give a testimony time in the service, think about it. It'll be a testimony time too as we share the closing service of the year. Thank you for coming today. God go with you. Don't ever forget, God sent Jesus to bless you. Amen. Amen. Amen.